Hi everyone. So I am Lancelot. I'm working for AMD actually, and I'm also the maintainer of the AMD GPU backend in Upstream GDB. And I'm going to talk to you about a bit of how to debug program running on GPUs, on AMD GPUs, because I don't really know much about the other one. Just out of curiosity, with a show of hands, how many of you have no idea how things are working on the GPU, actually? Yeah, okay. I'll try to go through that a bit so you have some understanding. So my plan, roughly, is to give you an overview of what the architecture is of our GPU and abstract model of that, and what is the programming model we use to work on that. And then we'll go into how to use RockGDB, which is the downstream fork of GDB we use at AMD, which is a support for debugging GPU programs. And we'll talk about where we are at supporting GDB in upstream, supporting AMD GPU in upstream. So a very abstract view of a GPU could be that. Is that working? So we have on the left, on the top left, global memory, which is your VRAM, like your RAM of your GPU, plus all the host memory you have. That's virtual memory, that's like in Linux, everything else, that's a 48-bit address space, so we use 64-bit pointers. And yeah, pretty easy peasy so far. Then, just below it, we have what we call the scale-up general-purpose registers. So if you were to x86, that's your A or AX or BX and so on. One small difference is instead of having like 8 of them, we have 100 of them-ish, plus some status register. So that's the easy part. But we still have like the 2/3 of the diagram to go through. So we have a bit more than that. Next, we have this big block, which are the VGPRs, which are the vector general purpose registers. You can see that at the first approximation as like your AVX-ish vector registers with some differences. On our system, those vector registers, so they have a fixed number of lanes. So you can see a register of like an array of 64 elements. Each element is a 32-bit value. And when we do vector math, that's going to be pretty much what you would expect with AVX. So if you do a vector add of V0, V0, V1, you will take like the value of V0 lane 0, you add that to the value of V0 lane 1, store that in V0 lane 0, and the same for every lane in parallel. So everything is happening at the same time. On top of that, we have what we have on the other side, on the top right, which is some memory, which is going to be dedicated for every lane. So each lane, each one of those 64 lanes, will have its own pool of memory. So we can have like vector load instruction, which will take an address. And that address is going to be an address within that particular piece of memory specific for that lane. So you do one load, and you load 64 value at a time from 64 different address spaces. That can be a bit tricky sometimes. And that's a basic, the base for like a compute element we have. And you can take a couple of them, put them together, and you will have what we can call a compute unit. In a compute unit, you can group some of those compute elements together, and they can talk a bit and exchange information via yet another address spaces, an address space. So that's a per thread block memory here, which is a 32-bit address space, and they can have some synchronization primitive within that CU. And then you take multiple CUs, you glue them together, and pretty much you got to GPU. That's what we're here. So that's a very, very abstract model of what a GPU can be. The way we can program for that is going to be usually using the heap programming language, which is quite very similar to CUDA, to be honest. And that's a single source programming model where you will have part of the code which will execute on the host, on the GPU, and part of the code will execute on the device, on the GPUs. So here, that's kind of the hello world of GPU programming, where we do a vector addition. So a bit of setup, we just initialize some memory, we copy it to the device, and we have here, we submit, we submit some work to the device to be done. And when we do that, we describe the geometry of our problem in terms of a 1, 2, or 3D space. So we describe the size of a block, which are like how many elements are going to be running on the same CPU, and we say how many blocks we want, so how many CPU can, how many work group can work concurrently. Not necessarily. How many work group we have, they don't have to synchronize in any way. That's a very, very fast, because I don't have much time, introduction of what that can look like. And now the question is, how does everything look like inside GDB and RockGDB? Those elements, like the fundamental part which executes, is what we call a wave. And in GDB, we map one wave to a thread. So when we do info thread in GDB, you will see a bunch of threads as usual, and then you will have those AMD GPU waves. And this AMD GPU wave, so that's this collection of those vector registers plus those scalar registers, and they're working together. Each of them will be running like the 64 work items at once in parallel, in pretty much. So just so everyone is not too bit confused, that target ID, the way it's built, that's so you can identify what where that thread comes from. So basically, it's built that way. We'll have the agent ID, which is like the ID of the GPU. You will have a queue ID. The queue is the mechanism you use to submit work to the GPU. Then you have a dispatch. A dispatch is a unique of work. And your wave ID. And for the convenience, you have XYZ coordinate of your work group and your wave index inside that work group. And from there, we do have also, if you want, info agent, info queue, info dispatch, which can be used to enumerate like the live dispatch and queues and agent on the system. And now we get to the trickier part, which is one wave, which has 64 lanes, is going to be executing like 64 work items in parallel, like concurrently and all at the same time. And so among all the scalar registers which are shared for the entire wave, you have one which is the PC, like the instruction pointer. So that means that you have what you would think of 64 different threads in your source program. They're going to be running the exact same instruction altogether inside GDB. And each one of those work items will map to a lane. So that's one slice of a vector register plus a given address space. So GDB has a concept of current lane, the same way we have a concept of a current thread. So when you step, if you have a lane selected, you will be presented with the same lane again. And so to be a bit consistent, we do have an info lanes command, which works like a bit like the other one. Ooh, that goes so fast. Sorry. I was expecting. Yeah, I know. You have a lane command you can use to select a given lane. And the lane ID is constructed a bit in the same way that we have thread ID, where we have the agent ID, the queue ID, the dispatch ID, the wave ID. And then within that, you have your lane ID after the slash, and you have the coordinate of the current work item inside the work group and the coordinate of the work group inside the grid, which is like everything. And so now the big question is, maybe all of your threads are not going to be doing the same thing. So if you have like if foo of lane ID, you do something else, you do something else. And how does that work? Because everyone, like every lane is going to be executed exactly the same instruction at every time. And the way it works is by using lane masking. So basically, the vector operation are are going to be configured with like a mask register, so some lane have some side effects and some don't. So we will turn the effect for some lane as no op. So basically, the case where the lane the condition is true is foo. We will actually execute the if foo will be an op, else we will actually then reactivate the lane, do what we want to do, and the else on the other end. When we're in the if branch, we will actually have some effects, so write the element, and otherwise we will deactivate the lane for the else, and that's going to be a no op. And so if you were to step, like single step, step within GDB with that execution model, basically that means that every instruction is going to be executed. So you test, is my lane ID odd? Apparently it's not. Apparently it's odd. So we do the else, but what the fuck? We do the then. So we execute everything. And GDB has some support to avoid this kind of confusion, which is we will just don't stop when the current lane is inactive. So we will step as expected. If we have something odd, we will do our test, go to the else branch. We don't stop in then branch, and we continue. Whew. That's the basic of how like the execution model works. Now we get to the tricky parts. As I said before, we have multiple address spaces. And when we have an address space, basically when you want to load data from that that memory or store data, you will need an address. But then, contrary to what you have in CPU world, if you just have an address, that's not going to get you very far, because you need to know what address is going the address is going to be an offset in a given address space. And so you need to glue those two information to have something that actually makes sense. And so we have this address space bound offset notation, which we use. And that can be used throughout GDB. Almost. Yeah.
5 minutes of questions.
Yeah. So I'll go very fast. So that's pretty much what we have. Useful thing to know, you will read the slide. I don't have to go over that. One question we have and one difficulty we have is to describe all of that, and especially all the address spaces and everything. That's not going to work very well with Dwarf, where a location is usually referred to as an address. An address is just a value. And as I said, if you just have a value and you don't know what address space that goes with, you're kind of stuck. So we have a proposal to redesign a bit of Dwarf and the evaluation mechanism in Dwarf to address that, and we're working with other vendors to try to have that submitted to the Dwarf standard, so that started. The discussion going on, but that takes time, and that's not in Dwarf yet. And very fast, the state of what we have in... Oop. Yeah, sorry. So the state of the AMD GPU supporting upstream GDB, so we have all the basic stuff for controlling the execution. And basically, we have a bunch of symbolic debugging, so being able to do a backtrace, bring variable and everything, which can't really do because we need Dwarf support to do that, and Dwarf is not standardized yet to support that, so we're stuck. And a bunch of links, you can look online, and that's pretty much the end. Sorry, it took a bit more time than it should have. And if you have any question, please.
We have 3 minutes for questions. So,
so one or two questions, maybe. Sorry. Yep.
Here. Can you use this with shaders written in GLSL or something?
The question is, can we use that for shader running in GLSL? Probably not, because GLSL, that's going to be on the graphics stack, and that's not like that's only going to work for compute shaders. So that will work for OpenCL, that will work with SQL. Like there is an implementation called Heap SQL you could use, but like the graphics pipeline would be different, and that's not going to work. That's just for compute. Yeah, we have a question over there. So the question basically is a wave a thread?
Yes.
And from the hardware perspective, yes. One thread is one wave, and that's what we show in GDB. If we go to the very beginning, we show in info threads, you will list waves, and once you have selected a given thread, you can select a lane within that that thread. Cool. Do we have time for one more question, maybe?
Yes.
Maybe one question. Yes.
So my question was about, like, you put those efforts for the upstream, but the final decision will be, like, it will be merged to upstream, and we don't have to use separate product, or it's still with, like, a separate product?
No. Our goal is to have everything upstream. The sooner, the better. But we cannot do that completely today, mostly because of dwarf issues. To have dwarf which can be powerful enough to describe what's actually happening on the GPU, we need some fundamental changes in dwarf. And so to get our change in GDB, we would need to support that dwarf 6-ish, but dwarf 6 doesn't exist yet. So like that's pretty much one of the big things which is holding us back.
Somewhere in the future, the idea will be it will be an upstream.
Yeah, that's our goal. That's okay. What we want to do. And yeah, I forgot to repeat the question. The question is, do we intend to have everything upstream, or do we want to keep having RockGDB as a separate product? We don't.
Sorry.
Time's up. Thank you. And that's it.